We've just heard the Passion, and when you read or hear the account of Jesus' suffering and death, in one sense, there should just be silence. The story speaks for itself. What more has to be said? So I'm not hoping to preach an entire homily, but very brief reflection and an invitation for us as we begin Holy Week. We heard the story of Jesus, and one of the approaches that we can take is, oh my gosh, what a powerful story. If you look a little deeper, we realize that this is not just the story of Jesus. It's also our story. As we enter Holy Week, we hear how this story dramatizes the stark realities of the human condition. Within the story of Jesus, we find, for one, intense suffering, intrigue, malice, prejudice, hatred, betrayal, bribery, corruption, and of course bloody murder. And how often we encounter this in our daily lives. However, intertwined in this very sad story is the life of a man who took the consequences of human sin upon himself and transformed it. Jesus didn't take the consequences of sin and then said, okay, you guys are all done. No, he does something far greater. He transforms that into a story of love, of forgiveness, of peace, of eternal life. So Jesus is transforming, really, the human condition. And he does this, as today's scriptures tell us, by becoming the suffering servant of God. The first reading from Isaiah, it's the song of a suffering servant. And then you have the New Testament reading from the Philippians, where Jesus is the suffering servant who became a slave and then, in obedience to God, humbled himself and gave his life on the cross. Jesus is the suffering servant par excellence. And I think Jesus, the suffering servant, teaches us much. And I want to very, very briefly touch upon two things that Jesus teaches us, and then thirdly, an invitation for all of us. First of all, about the human condition. What happened to Jesus is experienced by all of us. We all experience the consequences of sinful human condition. As I said, we too experience the pain of betrayal, of illness, of aging, of death. But we also learn that there are things over which evil has no hold. Can you imagine? There are things in this world over which evil has no dominance. The capacity within us, like Jesus, to take all the evil we experience and smother it within us with the power of God. Like Christ, we have the choice to take in the evil in the world and transform it into good. Over that, evil has no power. Only we have power over that. So yes, we are victims of the human condition and we experience evil, but we have the choice not to let that evil go beyond us. We're going to put an end, or we can put to death the evil that we experience and smother it. Let it not go to another person. Let's not repay evil with evil. We can turn hate into love, resentment into forgiveness, betrayal into fidelity, and death into life. And I believe this is the most powerful way of being Christ in the world. taking all the pain we encounter and making it an opportunity for salvation. So this is Holy Week. This week, pay very special attention to every time you encounter some kind of evil. And like Jesus, transform it into a power for good. Then we are really living Holy Week, because this is our story. Secondly, Holy Week also takes us to the climax of the story of Jesus. The story of Jesus is the story of human redemption, as I said earlier. But here's the most crucial thing. Because of this story, I mean, if this had not happened, it's a different thing altogether. But because the cross happened, the story of every person who comes into the world must be told in relation to the cross. There were many people who were part of the story of Jesus in those days. On the one side, there were those who chose evil, those who deliberately conspired to kill an innocent man, those who were on the side of evil. So you have Judas, who betrays, even Peter, who denies, Pilate, who washes his hands off, the soldiers who flogged this man, crowned him with thorns, insulted and abused him. But on the other hand, there were those who chose good. Joseph of Arimathea, Mary, the mother of Jesus, his friends who stood by him. Now here's the deal. The stories of all these people are told differently depending on how they related to Jesus. Isn't that true? Pilate, how do we tell a story? Depending on how he treated Jesus. Mary, how do we tell her story? Depending on how she related to Jesus. So my question to each one of us is, what does that story look for us at the moment if we were involved? At the end of our lives, our story will only have meaning depending on how we fit into the story of Jesus. What does the story look like now? By the time we have died and we are standing before God, we will be judged on how we fit into the story of Jesus. Who do you want to be? Pilate? Hope not. Judas? Dear God, let that never happen. Peter, even though he betrayed, we still have hope. He comes before God in repentance. That's a good story. Or Mary. Think about that. How does your story fit to the story of Jesus? And thirdly, here's an invitation. This week unravels the mystery of the sinful human condition, but it also unravels the mystery of our salvation. This week is unlike any other week. And my hope is that each one of us will enter fully into the depths of these mysteries. I say this in jest, but I say it seriously. I say salvation is not like fast food. It comes with a price. We cannot get to Easter without Holy Week. We cannot. If we do, Easter will taste like fast food. Rather, I think Holy Week is a time to reflect on the readings for each day of the week, to spend time in prayer, and particularly to participate in the events of this week. It's a very sad commentary on Catholicism here, where we move from Palm Sunday directly to Easter Sunday. It's a tragedy. I'm saying this a little strongly. Please don't be offended. I think it's wrong. Without what happened at Holy Thursday and without the cross, there would be no Easter. And for us to skip the events of our salvation and move straight into Easter is to really, in my opinion, to ignore some of the deeper realities of the mysteries of our salvation. But I understand people get busy, understand life is hard, understand. But may I please invite you to do all in your power to celebrate the mysteries of our salvation, because this is not just the story of Jesus, right? This is our story. I invite you then this week, please keep in touch with the Holy Week events, the Mass of the Lord's Supper at 7 o'clock on Thursday, at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock again, the Passion of the Lord that is celebrated, and then of course we all want to be there for Easter anyway. So it's my invitation to you. Let's begin Holy Week now. Let's make the story of our redemption the most important events of our life this week. And may Christ, who has died for us, may He then also save us. People of God said,